This is The Way Phase 4, and I'm your host, Steve Lascalzo. This podcast is dedicated to my fandom of Marvel Studios and everything happening in Phase 4 on Disney+. Today's discussion topic is the fourth episode of Loki, available for streaming as of June 30th, 2021. Sometimes, or rather frequently, we mention stories, characters, and connections to something Marvel Studios has released, like past movies, TV shows, or trailers. We could assume, if you're seeking out this podcast, that you've already seen the episode, but maybe you don't like hearing healthy speculation and don't want to know more. If that's the case, bookmark or save this podcast for later. You have been warned.
This is actually your last chance.
Want to be part of the podcast and have your voice heard? Put your thoughts in writing. Send it to us at one of a few different places. Our email address is thisisthewayphase4@gmail.com, @thewayphase4 on Twitter, and facebook.com/thewayphase4. If we get feedback, we will share it.
What was my Nexus event?
Episode 4 is titled Nexus Event, and from first action to last shot before the credits is about 40 minutes, 30 seconds. But if you were not aware, there is a mid-credit scene which tacks on an additional 30 seconds, so if you missed it, please go back now and watch. Back? Good. The full and brief descriptions for the episode on the selection page both say the same thing for this episode. It says, frayed nerves and paranoia infiltrate the TVA as Mobius and Hunter B-15 search for Loki and Sylvie. The director for all the episodes is Kate Herron, and writing credit for this one goes to Eric Martin. There is a previously on segment following the Disney Plus snap. Following that segment, the Marvel Studios fanfare is back over the Marvel Studios slate. Last week it was a song, now it's back to the fanfare, but the slate still green and gold, not Marvel red. After that, the camera shows a mountain, we fly over it to see Asgard, or at least a version of it, right? We don't know which version yet. We find ourselves in Loki's room as she is a young girl. This is the Sylvie version. She's playing with some small carvings, and there's a story she's telling that I wouldn't be surprised if it came from a comic run somewhere.
Dragon swoops towards the palace. That Valkyrie flies over, defeats the dragon, and saves Asgard.
A dragon, heroic Valkyrie that, remember, Hela destroyed all of them. But Asgard is saved in this version, and I'd have thought that if anything caused the TVA to show up, it might have been a little bit of mischief, or maybe something in the story would have revealed it, but we don't learn anything, really. We don't see Odin, Frigga, Thor, or anyone but young Sylvie as a detachment of Minutemen show up to arrest her. We don't even know why, led by A23. At this point, it was Ravonna Renslayer as a hunter, not the judge yet. The timeline is reset. Sylvie's pulled into the TVA, but sometime in the past, which is curious. Now, if time works differently in the TVA, you might not expect that much time would have passed inside the TVA, right? More on that in a moment. There's someone different at the desk. The same man, though, is at the desk asking for a signature on everything she's ever said. The same man's at the box taking the temporal aura photograph, which would disintegrate robots if you were a robot and you stepped through. Renslayer, as a hunter, brings young Sylvie in front of a judge, something she'll one day become. Sylvie stomps on her foot, grabs a temp pad, and being an adolescent, of course she can figure out technology, right? So she calls up a door on the Miss Minutes temp pad menu, and she goes through it. Renslayer opens her eyes, having remembered this. This is a flashback for us, the viewers, as she's heading to an audience with the timekeepers. She exits the elevators, enters a smoky room, and there is a very heavy Wizard of Oz vibe that I picked up on right away. You know, who dares disturb the great and powerful timekeepers, right? So, two things. First, I was surprised at first that they'd actually show them, if they existed at all. What I figured was too early in the show and the season, and they show them. Then I immediately remembered there's only two episodes after this, so this is quite late. Second, if you listen to our previous podcast, you might remember I felt like they weren't real. That this is that illusion that Loki spoke of, the illusion of power in the first episode, and it was truer than even he had realized. I felt the dialogue between Mobius and Loki in that cafeteria scene right before the aha kablooey moment was a big tip-off. Well, the fog clears just enough for us to see the figures and the glowing eyes of the three timekeepers just before the Loki title card sequence.
I have an offer for you. That's why I found you.
Under the best of circumstances, it's jarring to stand before the timekeepers. And this is not the best of circumstances.
Renslayer emerges from the elevators again after the title card sequence. This time she's back into the TVA office complex, and there's a waiting Mobius. I'm noticing that if this is a charade, right, she went through it. She went through the whole thing. She at least walked into the timekeeper's presence, right? So if she was completely in on this farce, she could have just rode the elevator to the chamber and just sat there, right? So unless there's someone like the Wizard of Oz off in an antechamber that she was really going to see, she went through this ceremony of speaking to the timekeepers. Mobius asks if she's okay, and she indicates that not all is well, since now two Lokis are on the loose, and you know the timekeepers are not happy. She's asked about C-20, and Mobius learns that she's dead here, or at least he's told that she's dead. And not just that, that it was a horrible end, and she lost her mind. Ravonna says they don't want people to panic, but she can trust Mobius with this information. Now, they're all assuming, of course, that Loki and Sylvie have escaped, but are safe. That, of course, is not really the case, because as we left our two Loki variants at the end of last episode, they're still on Lamentis. It's still going to be destroyed. Loki finds Sylvie sitting on a rock outside town. Meteors continue to crash down around them, and he apologizes. She then tells him her story, remembering Asgard, being taken prisoner, escaping with a tempad, running for a long time.
Everywhere and every when I went, caused a Nexus event. Sent up a smoke flare. Because I'm not supposed to exist.
She says that's where she grew up, the ends of a thousand worlds. And that's got to be heavy on an adolescent and very formative. I still kind of wonder how that's possible. It's amazing that she'd be able to figure all that out, survive, and get any sleep at all, feed herself, all without raising suspicion or creating Nexus events that call the TVA to her. Or if she did, she kept evading them. Now, unless we're going to find out that this is all part of someone's plan, she's remarkable in that she held it together, figured out how to find these apocalypses. She had to have charged the tempad from time to time. She avoided being seen or causing a butterfly effect that would rat her out to the TVA, right? So she's a survivor. And now she's going to die on one of the worlds she grew up on, right? She went through a lot of stuff, but somehow managed to get through it all. And at some point, these people in the TVA changed, but I thought time worked differently there. So I'm surprised we didn't at any point see a Mobius going after her. And at the beginning of the series, we're almost kind of led to believe that these Loki, or maybe these Lokis that they've been talking about, like we've pruned all these Lokis, maybe they were previous attempts to bring this first Loki in. Maybe this is a pet project, a Ravonna Renslayer. Back at the TVA, Mobius and B-15 appear to be heading up a sweep of the sacred timeline with magnified power that's so Nexus-sensitive that it can pick up someone stepping on the wrong leaf. B-15 asks if he's heard about C-20. Mobius tells the white lie, no. So it seems like B-15 really wants to find them, but at this point we really don't know why. We just kind of feel like it's a little bit of revenge.
Not long now.
Back on Lamentis, Sylvie asks if what makes a Loki is that they're destined to lose. Loki disputes the assertion, saying they may lose, but they don't die. He knows otherwise, though, from seeing Thanos end him, so he's just maybe speaking to her, encouraging her in what he thinks maybe are their final moments. He compliments her, genuinely, though, telling her that she's amazing and, you know, talks about all that she's accomplished on her own. She reaches out, actually, and touches his arm tenderly. But somehow, this triggers a redlining event on Lamentis, and the TVA gets a lock on them. A large piece of the planet that was crashing into the moon hit on the horizon a little while back in the scene, and the cloud is making its way towards them, and Loki and Sylvie seem relegated to their fate. And then two time doors open behind them. The TVA apprehends them off screen, and we see that they end up being separated into different time theaters to be interviewed before, I guess, pruning. Mobius feels betrayed by Loki. Loki, of course, he's got a new perspective on everything. There's some sort of time cell prepared for him, but before he's pushed in, Loki tells Mobius they're all being lied to by the TVA. Mobius chalks it up to being another of his lies, and Loki finds out what this red time door has in store for him. He's on Asgard, being forced to relive a painful moment from his past. Now, painful as in pain on the body. Lady Sif comes through, and Loki is forced to endure a punishment he suffered in the past. A couple of slaps, punches, and a knee to the groin. After she leaves, the scene basically repeats. He's in a time loop. And Loki now knows that this is his hell, H-E-L, and he's being forced to relive the punishment over and over and over again, as long as the TVA wishes.
Okay, good.
Pathetic.
Mobius goes to see Ravonna and wants to see the other Loki, Sylvie, but Ravonna refuses. He really wants to work Sylvie against Loki, but Ravonna just wants to know what caused the abnormal spike in Nexus energy that brought the TVA to them. I guess that seems to be the key. If they wanted them gone, why didn't they just leave them on Lamentus to die, I wonder? There's something else, right, about this. She tells them to worry himself only with his Loki, and that the timekeepers are watching. Always watching, you know, for all time. On his way back to Loki, he walks by the time theater, number 47. Sylvie's there being held. Mobius does spit out a very interesting piece of dialogue where he says,
"You know, we brought in Kree, Titans, vampires. Why is it the two orphan demigods are such a pain in the..."
So he brings up vampires, which could be a reference to Blade or Morbius. Morbius, not Mobius. Both Blade and Morbius are Marvel properties, although I think Morbius is currently under the Sony banner, and it's primarily a Spider-Man villain, so maybe we'll see Morbius interact with Spider-Man at some point. But before Mobius, not Morbius, before Mobius leaves, B-15 asks if Loki said anything, and Mobius, unlike the white lie about C-20, he comes clean here, tells her that Loki told him the TVA is lying to them. Now remember, B-15 was mind-controlled, or enchanted, I guess, by Sylvie. So what freaked out C-20 is now starting to bother her. There's been something on her mind, and we kind of thought it might have been revenge. But now there's something else brewing in there. And remember, C-20 had something unlocked. It appears that B-15 also had a little something unlocked. In his time cell, clearly, Loki is growing tired of hearing the same Lady Sif speech over and over and over. At the point we rejoin him, he's now admitting responsibility for the cutting of her hair, which is kind of a little bit of Norse mythology there. He's also telling her why he's wrong and how horrible he is. So instead of kicks and punches this time, he actually gets help to his feet. But I think the lesson he's to learn here from the repetition is actually her line at the end that she says at the end of each loop.
"You are alone, and you always will be."
Because what could be worse than being alone, right? And that's what Loki's been told actually a couple of times during the series. In the end, Loki does learn all this on the sacred timeline, but it takes him many movies from his time in Avengers all the way to his end, all the way in Infinity Wars, right? He learns this gradually and the hard way. Now he seems to be learning it on a crash course. Mobius comes to him to do some more talking and brings Loki back from the time cell to the time theater. Loki is quick to say he doesn't work for Sylvie or even consider himself a partner in crime or in chaos, whatever. He says in the real world, people are awful to each other to get what they want, but Mobius doesn't buy it. Presses him for information on the Nexus event. So Mobius is being a good soldier for Ravonna. Loki says he won't tell, so Mobius threatens more torturous confinement. This seems to be enough to get Loki to just spin another tale. It's almost like he's trying to tell Mobius what he wants to hear. He tries copying to everything, saying that with Sylvie who came to him long ago, they hatched a plan and an apocalypse. So the first two times I watched the scene, I thought, oh, that would be funny if it was true. But then the third time, I had to wonder, what if that's the result? What if toward the end, Loki visits Loki as Sylvie, or either one visiting the other, to warn them about the TVA, which sets all this off? It could happen, right? Loki calls Sylvie a pawn, but I don't think Mobius believes Loki even for a second. He seems to pull a trick out of his bag, lying and saying Sylvie was pruned. Surely it was to see what the reaction was, and Loki can't help but fall for it, and he falls into a blank stare of disbelief. Mobius sees right through it, starts laughing, and says no wonder they had no idea what caused the Nexus event on Lamentis, because they were both swooning over each other. And maybe that is it. Loki being in love with a variation of himself, forming, as Mobius says, a sick, twisted romantic relationship, being pure chaos breaking reality.
What a incredible seismic narcissist! You fell for yourself!
Her name was Sylvie.
Mobius then comes clean, tells him she's alive for now, and Loki seems relieved, starts to come clean to Mobius. He doesn't really want to hear the truth, though. Mobius has caught all of Loki's lies so far, but probably what is unnerving him in this moment is that he knows Loki's telling the truth when he says they're all variants. He pretends not to believe him, says the case is now closed, or at least I think he pretends not to believe him, because I think he figured out that it was Loki loving a variant version of himself that was the chaos, and that intrigues him. Before Loki can be put back into the time cell to await final judgment, Loki calls him the biggest liar because he lies to himself, and again, I think that hits a little too close to home. Outside Sylvie's room, B-15 clearly is disturbed by the memories brought up, and I don't think it's any mistake here that they cut away and go at this moment over to Sylvie and B-15, because B-15 is looking at a poster and deciding on a course of action. She goes into the room, brings up a time door, and tells Sylvie to follow. The poster urged hunters and Minutemen to prune variants, asking, did you get them all? Verify through deletion. It seems that she finally realized that something's just not right if you're being told not to look behind the curtain, and then if you see behind the curtain like she did, you can't just forget what you saw.
Come with me.
In Ravana's office, Mobius is about to close the case, getting the old signatures on the files, but while Ravana tries to probe Mobius, he's probing right back. She's asking him, where would he go if he could go anywhere on the sacred timeline? And I think she's looking to see if he's been compromised. You know, she wants to see if he says something about where he came from, because at that point, she just doesn't get what's going on. She's thinking that his past will give away his state of mind, but the questions he's asking is really giving him away, because he's probing her for weaknesses. He asks, why didn't you let me question Sylvie? And she says it was too dangerous. He asks, when did she first notice C-20 had a serious problem, since she looked freaked out but okay to him, and then all of a sudden it took a turn for the worse really fast? So she puts out a white lie, telling him she didn't want to see anything happen to him. And that's why she kept Mobius from Sylvie, because they have, Ravana and Mobius have an uncommon friendship worth fighting for, same as the sacred timeline. So she even gives herself away by innocently asking if that's what he wanted to hear. I think he notices it too, because he says, yeah, if that's the truth. He also takes a moment now to take her tempad with him when her back is turned. He switches out their tempads. He's been suspicious during the whole meeting, and I think she confirmed his suspicions.
When you were in my head, I saw something.
So the truth will out, right? B-15 took Sylvie back to Roxcart's parking lot to avoid time detection and asks Sylvie there to unlock more memories, and she does. B-15 learns that she was happy in her own old life, but she too is a variant. It was done great, though. It was just with closed eyes in the rain. We didn't need to see a representation of what we already know from last episode, that it's a memory that she's seeing. So B-15 now wants to know what to do next. And then again, we cut away very pointedly. Mobius is in the library or archives. Now, I thought he was looking for his file, which I think would have been pretty cool, but this is just where he decides to pry into Ravana's tempad. He opens it up, sees that C-20 is listed deceased, but decides to look at a video file. It's C-20 being interrogated as part of a debriefing. She insists on the video that her memories were real, confirming we were right. It's real part about it. It was her memories. No one appears to want to hear the things she has to say, especially not when she's saying she's a variant and then telling everyone else there at the TVA that they are as well. Someone steps in to stop the interview. It's Ravonna. Mobius looks pained to have learned the truth from Loki, but more pained that it's Ravonna who's been doing the worst lying to him.
You really think you deserve to be alone? Loki!
Loki is back in that time cell with Lady Sif on repeat. Mobius arrives, and clearly he's got a different mission this time when he's questioning him. He's excited. He's speaking very fast. He's asking Loki if he trusts that Sylvie didn't implant the memories. He laments that he has to trust the word of two Lokis, and our Loki gives a version of a line that Legolas says to Gimli. In The Lord of the Rings, Gimli says he never thought he'd be standing side by side to fight with an elf, and Legolas says, "How about a friend?" And that's when Gimli says, I can do that. Loki says, Mobius can trust the word of a friend.
You're right about the TVA. You were right from the beginning.
So Mobius comes clean to him, and then Loki is asked if he thinks he can trust Mobius, and he says yes. Mobius gives the best pep talk he can offer in that situation, tells Loki he can be whatever he wants, and contrary to a line in an earlier episode where he told Loki, you know, you exist only as a foil to others, right? He says now he can be anything, even good. And then the two walk back through the red door into the time theater from the time cell, and they do so side by side, but who's waiting there? Ravonna and several Minutemen. She knows he took her tempad. She knows he can't be trusted. I think she was watching on his timepad, or his tempad. I think she was watching what was taking place in there. Mobius knows she knows. So he decides now's the time to answer her question from before, and he tells her where he would go is where he was taken from, and that it probably had a jet ski, and then Ravonna orders him pruned. A Minuteman steps forward, and that's the end of Mobius. It was kind of surprising. A little shocking as a viewer, but it appeared to me as if she knew everything that was going on in that cell, and probably has known for some time, and maybe she was just hoping against hope. But she's the kind of person that she's just going to go scorched earth when it comes to tying up loose ends. She probably would kill her own men without a thought. I'd be surprised if these Minutemen afterward also weren't reprogrammed or just pruned outright. Loki is led to the elevators. Ravonna heads to Sylvie to gather her for the execution, but notices she's wet now. B-15 is ratted out by the Minutemen guarding the room. Renslayer puts out a bolo for her, be on the lookout, saying she is also compromised by the variant. But what she really means is she's compromised by the truth. So she brings Loki and Sylvie with her in the elevator to see the timekeepers.
I've got them from here.
On the ride up to see the great and powerful timekeepers, Sylvie asks, what was her Nexus event? And Ravonna, does she remember her? Ravonna says she does, but not the Nexus event. I just don't think, even if she did, that she'd want to tell her. I wonder if it was that Sylvie had decided in her heart to be good. And if that was the deviation from the script for the timekeepers. Like, in that moment, had she decided in her heart, I'm going to be good instead of evil. I'm not going to do the things that the other Loki was going to do. Now, if we don't learn what it was, or we learn that it was something stupid or cheap, it's going to be a real letdown. I hope that they go big with that kind of reveal. If they set up what was my Nexus event, I hope we find out, and I hope it's something great. Because, you know, maybe I mentioned before in the podcast, it was the other Loki visiting her and telling her something of the alternate timeline or how to survive, whatever it is. You know, it seemed amusing to Ravonna. She seemed to get pleasure out of the fact that this Loki was kind of suffering a little bit, which doesn't seem like business as usual for the, you know, the timekeepers or the TVA in general. I know she kind of probably was embarrassed by losing the little girl Loki at the beginning of the show, but that just seems like a little too much. It's setting her up to be a villain. So they disembark into Oz's chamber, or to the timekeeper chamber. To me, that's what it felt like. They step before the three figures that are seated basically on thrones on a wall, and it makes it look like it's floating, and it looked so fake. My question now is, if anyone actually believes they're real, or if the four guards in the room are in on this little trick, right, as well as Ravana. I mean, I instantly felt like they had to be robots or something. If they were real beings, I was going to have to roast Disney here and Marvel Studios for terrible work. They were cartoonish, but that might have, maybe that's the point to a certain degree, right? Loki and Sylvie talk with them, and they seem completely uninterested in hearing from Loki at first, and so they order their deletion. B-15 then enters from the elevators as Ravana attempts to control them. Actually, she's trying to control Sylvie with the time turner, but B-15 releases them from their collars and throws a sword to Sylvie. A fight begins. B-15 is quickly knocked out by the two guards closest to the elevator, and Loki and Sylvie are facing two guards each now. Sylvie takes out her guards, and then Ravana enters combat, taking up one of the sword-like batons that the guards had that can erase somebody. At first, she gets an upper hand, but Sylvie ends up on top, knocks her to the side. And I noticed when they finished off the guards, the central timekeeper robot makes an offer to Sylvie. He does say Sylvie, where Ravana didn't seem to know her alias, but whoever is controlling these robots knows that her alias is Sylvie, and that she doesn't like, or she could have said Loki or the variant again, but this time it says Sylvie. You know, you're a child of the timekeepers. So she throws her sword, decapitates the robot in the center, and then the others kind of shut down. Sylvie picks up the head and immediately realizes these are fake.
Mindless androids.
Mindless androids. My first thought would have been, where is the person controlling them? Because if they're mindless, then someone's acting through them, right? If they were fully autonomous, then Loki asking who created the TVA would make more sense. But he's kind of, I think they're shocked at the wrong thing. Like, why aren't they looking around the room for somebody who's controlling them? Loki starts to talk to her, though, and I guess that's to reveal that he, too, knows that it was their mutual attraction that caused the chaos before, you know, before he gets to spit it all out. She's like, I don't want to hear another pep talk. But he's trying to tell her that he has feelings for her. Before he gets a chance, Ravana prunes him from behind. We see him start to disintegrate. She lunges then at Sylvie, who easily takes the baton from her, and it turns on her now. And Renslayer actually urges Sylvie to erase her, either because she knows what awaits or doesn't want to face the real music, or maybe she knows that it's not going to end up with her being disintegrated. Sylvie instead ends the main part of the episode by telling her and us that she's going to make her tell her everything, and If You Love Me, Really Love Me starts to play over the credits as performed by Brenda Lee, a song released in April of 1961.
If the sun should tumble from the
We are not done, no. After the Loki title shows up in the credits, and just before the last two words of that song play, where Brenda Lee would have sung Don't Care, we get Loki waking up on the ground. He wonders if it's Hel, again, H-E-L, not Hel as we would call it, but the Asgardians. Two things. Hel is a person in Norse mythology and a place. Hel is Loki's daughter. So Hel, Loki daughter, mentioned in Norse sagas, and poems and prose. It's also, though, the place that she rules in that context. So it's the underworld, most notably, an afterlife location, H-E, single hockey stick. Now, many of the places like Jotunheim, Niflheim, Midgard, Asgard, are part of what the Norse considered the cosmos, right? Asgard at the top, like kind of like heaven. You know, Valhalla is a hall in Asgard. In this Marvel context, Asgard is just a place out in the heavens. Midgard is what they all call Earth, right? But then underneath that is Jotunheim and Niflheim and Niffle at the, you know, and at the very bottom, I guess, would be Hel, H-E-L. And at the very, very bottom was something called the Corpse Shore, where Nidhogg was chewing on the roots of the great tree Yggdrasil. So there were different levels of hell, kind of like Dante's Inferno. And I'm wondering if where Loki wakes up in that mid or post-credit scene is actually a pocket dimension, like we see in Thor Ragnarok, like Sakaar, right? In Sakaar, all the trash went on that planet, right? All the wrecks and the starship wrecks and things, and it was kind of like a trash planet. Well, I wonder if this is a different kind, like a human trash planet, right? Loki doesn't get an answer to his question about hell, but he does when he asks if he's dead. Richard E. Grant answers saying, not yet, and then he hears, but you will be if you don't come with us.
Am I dead?
Not yet. But you will be unless you come with us.
That's where we leave this episode. And I was about to be extremely upset with Marvel Studios and Disney if, and I will be, actually, if Tom Hiddleston's version of Loki is either retconned or removed from future Marvel movies, TV stuff. I'm fine adding Lady Loki or Enchantress or just Sylvie as another form of Loki, but there's not going to be any addition by subtraction here in my eyes. The show's given me plenty of new questions this week, which I'm grateful for and happy. That's exactly what makes the week go by pleasantly, the theorizing, speculation. Right now, though, we got two more episodes, and thus two more weeks before we find out where Loki leaves off. I expect next week will contain mostly, if not all, Loki learning about these new Loki variant friends he's going to have here, wherever he is, like an old Loki, a braggadocious Loki, I guess they called him, something like that, alligator Loki, young or kid Loki. So, and then the final episode must necessarily wrap up everything for Sylvie, Loki, the TVA. And so hopefully we actually do see what's waiting behind that curtain. But also, how's this supposed to have been the thing that really kicks all the Marvel mythology off for Phase 4? We were basically promised that, right? We had hints in WandaVision, advanced, established characters in The Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And now, this, from what we're told, is going to set up something about the multiverse. But just mentioning it isn't enough. I mean, they slightly altered the end credit scene in WandaVision where, I mean, they didn't do a lot, but I don't know if you saw that in the news this week. They altered the end credit scene on the streaming platform. So it was different from when it first streamed and now. And I guess that's to make it more in line with what they're doing in the movies. I'm just hoping the final two episodes of this show remove that mist covering the map so we get an idea of where we're heading for movies like Spider-Man Far From Home and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Because by the time we get to Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, we've got to have Kang the Conqueror established. He's already been established as a character. We've got to see him. We've got to get glimpses like we did of Thanos so long ago before we finally saw him on screen. I don't know. What do you think? Am I way off base here? Email me. This is thewayphase4@gmail.com. Interact on Twitter @thewayphase4 or on facebook.com/thewayphase4. Episode 5 will air July 7th. This has been This is the Way Phase 4's discussion of Nexus Event, Season 1, Episode 4 of Loki. I'm Steve Lascalzo. Until next time, friends.
Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing.